Tickets are still available, so come on down. You can get your tickets at the door. That's Tim Bloom with Graham Lesh.
Way to go, Derek.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so if you guys are chilling out in this rainy evening, looking for something to do, why don't you go ahead and go check out Tim Bloom. Support KZFR, have a good time, meet some of our radio programmers and the people that make it happen around here.
And also get some great music. I think that's the...
There's also music. There's live music. What else are you going to do? Come on. It's Chico. It's rainy.
I know we're popular and people want to meet us as the hosts and entertainers of their favorite program.
Yes.
But yeah, there's going to be live music there. Tim Bloom will be performing. So there's more to see.
Yes, absolutely. So if you can, go on down. Check out Tim Bloom and all of our radio programmers.
Yes, yeah.
But talking about practice, Chico. Only locally produced sports talk radio show starts right now. Or now.
We talking about. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. I'm your host, Drew Gilbert. Alongside me,
I'm Derek Gitzelmacki.
I was going to introduce you.
I like that. I'm sorry. No. I liked the DMs right there. What?
Jeez. All right. Off to a great start here. Talking about practice, as I mentioned, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. We have a big show for you guys. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers had a hell of a weekend, so we want to get into that. Steve Smith, he is.
Yeah.
Steve Smith's retirement letter, I think you guys will want to hear that.
Yes.
Zaza Pachulia of your Golden State Warriors is leading the All-Star vote, so we definitely want to talk about that. Boogie Cousins, Odell Beckham, Joey Galloway, and more. Matter of fact, let's start with Joey.
Yeah, start with Joey. That was a nice shocker to us we had a few minutes ago.
I was hoping Noobs would be here. Maybe he still will make his way down to discuss this. But Joey Galloway, 45-year-old former wide receiver Joey Galloway, ripped as ever.
Yeah.
We just saw a Gatorade commercial with him, and my goodness.
It makes me feel inadequate.
Noobs, yes, he's
there
here.
There he is. He is
all
here.
All right. I'm excited because I wanted to talk to you about this, Noobs.
Oh, man. Sorry, I had to take a little slow coming down the hill.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's probably a little icy up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the sweater, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you look very January right now. So
December's kind of mixed in there too.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see this, and you probably I don't. Anyway, we were just watching some Gatorade special before the championship game with all the pre-talk, right. Whatever, and they had Joey Galloway working out, 45-year-old Joey Galloway.
Wow,
and he is so ripped. So really? I just wanted to start with that because naturally, yeah, with Wild Card Weekend, that's where we're going to start.
Right.
Joey Galloway's ripped. He's 45, and I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Wow.
It was
like Herschel Walker ripped, or?
Not quite to the same level, but like, Damn, that dude's ripped.
I mean, like, he works out pretty much on a regular basis, and he probably eats well, and like, he could probably still make it in like the CFL.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to go out there and do
props something. To guys who like work that hard their whole life and then continue to do it after their playing days are over.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Because I would slack.
Yeah, I mean, I do.
I do slack. That's what I mean.
But I never did it. I'm still slacking.
Right.
So yeah.
I just wanted to start with that because it seemed like a natural place to start. And
especially because like the holidays are the new year. People like to start getting in that better body.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just goals right there. That's your look at Joey Galloway, guys.
He's 45.
He's 45.
He's shredded.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Anyway, moving on.
Talk about practice, y'all.
This is talking about practice. Noobs, Jonathan Newberry is here, everybody, so we're excited for that. So, Noobs, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to start off with? Because I'm really struggling with this wild card weekend. I do want to talk.
We didn't really have a single good game.
No.
I mean, really, the Lions game was kind of close going into the fourth quarter. It's 10-6, but nothing, like, we didn't have a good finish.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
What's up with Aaron Rodgers? He's like Mr. Hail Mary now. This is almost getting ridiculous.
It was funny because I had somebody come up to me in the bar and they were saying, like, what's up with this meme I saw of Aaron Rodgers and he's got, like, the Tupac Hail Mary full of, you know, that song on there. Like, what is it? I was like, oh, yeah, man. He just threw another Hail Mary. So he's called Hail Rodgers now. So
that's hilarious.
Hail Rodgers full of grace now, apparently.
It's getting, you're right. Ridiculous is the best word to describe it, I think, because it is getting to a point now where it's almost like a free throw.
Totally. You know? Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like a 50-50 proposition. You know what I mean? Like, he's done three now.
Yeah.
Twice in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Most guys never complete one of those in their entire career.
Like, I wonder on a defensive standpoint how you can allow that to happen. It seems very difficult, you know, like, it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
You know, it's when it happens, like, oh, that's why it's like a Hail Mary. Oh, you know, like.
I didn't actually see the play. Did they bring pressure on that one, or did they just drop everybody back?
They dropped everyone.
Yeah, see, that's what we were talking about this. What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I think,
And, you know, I mean, the thing I would do, and I think we all agree on this, is you bring at least four, probably five, maybe even six.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't, because, I mean, it's like, then at least you have. At least, five on five.
Yeah, it's at least one on eligible. One out there.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. And you're not going to give him that time to sit back there and roll out of the pocket and whatever. So, you know, and then I would also think about, you know, maybe putting some of your wide receivers in there as, like, seriously, like, you know, like, way deep in there.
Right.
To your taller guys, just knock it down. Or guys with good hands.
Exactly. Guys who are used to catching the ball. Guys who are used to having jump balls
going
thrown at them. You know, I completely agree. I do find it odd that they still haven't figured this out,
right?
Just rush four at least, you know. But I did want to talk about Aaron Rodgers because I think I've been kind of hard on him over the years.
He is our local boy,
and he is local, and he's amazing.
He is amazing.
He may be I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but some of the things he does, I've never seen another quarterback do. The way he buys time, that's not necessarily unique, but I think in the manner he does it. Is kind of different. And then the balls he throws is just, he's having to throw his wide receivers open all the time.
I mean, that throw on the run, and he throws it across his body, like, not in the way he's running, it's going the opposite direction he's running, was like, and it's pinpoint accuracy half the time with him. Like, for the most part, it's a catchable ball, and, you know, it's in that vicinity, and it's ridiculous.
What I wanted to talk about specifically is he comes off, and I don't know him, I've never met him, but he comes off as he could be kind of smug and arrogant, and he has all the reason in the world to be a bit arrogant, but I kind of have to respect it now after they were 4-6 and he said we're gonna run the table, and then he backed it up, and he's essentially the reason for them running the table, because if you look at their wide receivers, there's not one dynamic wide receiver. I would say Jordy Nelson is the closest
when he's healthy.
And much of what they did in the game was after Jordy Nelson went out. So, right. I mean, it's gangster. To lay it down, say we're going to run the table, that's just a gangster move. And I have... I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but I really have to just... I have to give him his due respect because that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he definitely has supreme confidence. I mean, because what was it, you know, a couple seasons ago when he... told everybody to just relax,
and then he spelled it out for everyone.
You know, and then I think they went and made a pretty deep playoff run that year. So, I mean, you know, the guy is he's a stud. He's got the escapability of Big Ben early in his career.
Right.
He's got the accuracy of Tom Brady. I mean, guys don't bounce off of him like they used to bounce off of Ben.
Yeah.
You know, but he can, like you said, he's nimble. He's nimble.
And he steps up
in the pocket, and he's not like lightning fast, but he can get away and he can run and scramble and make throws on the run. Like, I mean, the guy's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember it. I mean, and he does this almost every week, but I think it was the first week of the season versus Tampa Bay, if I'm recalling this correctly. But I remember the play. He was running to his left. And then he started going back to his right, started getting sacked, and as he was going down, threw a dart into the end zone. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah. Jacksonville, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, Jacksonville, yeah. It was Jacksonville or Tampa. It was his southern team. I remember that. A southern team that hasn't been good in a while. So. but, I mean, he does this week in and week out. A great follow on Twitter is Kian Faye. I think it's C-I-A-N-A-F is the follow. And he had a bunch of just quick clips of what Aaron Rodgers does that no other quarterback does, and this was just in the Detroit game a week ago. And it's just, it's crazy. And so I wanted to marvel at it for a second. And like I said, when I call someone out, I have to be fair, and he's been killing it, so yeah. I have nothing to say but good things right now.
When did you call him out?
Oh, pretty much ever since I've been on the radio.
Not a big supporter over here.
No, it's just, okay, I think part of it, like, I didn't want to go down this route, but we're here. So, Nshiko, he's very popular, obviously, as he should be.
Totally.
And he's great. He's a great football player. But there's, with any level of success, there's a lot of bandwagon fans that come along with that. And I think the night that I was just fed up with the whole Aaron Rodgers thing was the night that this girl, I'm at the Bear with my buddies to watch a Green Bay playoff game. This was like 3 years ago. There's a girl there, and she's talking about how big of a fan she is of Green Bay. She turns, sees that Green Bay's on TV, and is like, oh my God, we're playing. And then starts rooting hardcore for Green Bay. I'm like, you didn't even know you were playing. You're in a playoff game.
Yeah.
So I think that's where my disdain comes from. So,
but you can't blame him for that.
No, I can't, but I'm going to.
That's a product of his success. You know, that's the problem. So his success has caused people to be looked ineptitude.
No, it's true, though, because, I mean, like, I don't do this as often as I used to, but I used like, I'd either go to, like, the Grad a long time ago, and then more recently, like, the Oasis.
Sure.
Since they upgraded their TV situation.
Right.
It's been a minute. But anyway, that's what I found, too, over the last few years. There's tons of Packers fans.
Right.
Where there never was before.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
If you've been a Packers fan.
Right. But to root for a team just because someone is from Chico that plays quarterback on the team, like, if you, like, I can understand, like, if you knew Aaron.
Right.
And, like, or, like, you were somehow associated with PV or something, and then he gets in the league, and then you decide to go for Green Bay, like, I could get that.
Sure.
But if you have no association with this guy whatsoever, you just happen to live in Chico.
That's what,
like, I'm going to root for whoever Kyle Loesch pitches for, because,
right.
You know what I mean? He's the other Chico pro athlete.
Right.
You know,
right.
That we have. That's not how I roll. But so, like, but I have problems with fans like that in general.
Yeah.
I just don't even understand what's going on. That's classic. Oh, we're playing?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And it's like, just
really?
Like, this is...
Haven't you been amped up for this about for the last like 4 or 5 hours? Like,
exactly.
This is a playoff game. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
It's super annoying to me. And to be fair, he comes off a little smug, but at this point, he's so good. Who cares? And here's where it really stems from. All right, let me just... I'm having a moment on air
just
right
flow.
Now. All right.
Yeah.
Just kidding. The Niners passed up on Aaron Rodgers. He's from Chico. My family's from Chico. I grew up in the Bay Area. Huge Niners fan. We passed up on a local boy. And I've held it against Aaron Rodgers and not my franchise ever since. So... Huh. That has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, but I'm still going to be mad.
Why can't you be better in college that people would have drafted you higher? That's your...
We drafted... Alex Smith. And you guys know how I feel about that guy.
Yeah, hey man.
And he's so you see, it's all come full circle.
Right. Yeah.
All my angst over as long as we've been doing the show and as long as I've known you guys, that's pretty much where it stems from.
Yeah, getting back to the Oasis thing, Stacy, the owner down there, that's one of his biggest laments is that they didn't take Rodgers. That's one of his, he's a huge Niners fan.
Yeah.
Has all kinds of memorabilia from the 80s, all the Super Bowls and stuff. And that's one of his biggest things is that they should have drafted Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know?
It kills me a little bit each day. So.
I mean, but you could make the argument the Niners could have drafted Tom Brady. I mean, all 31
but
teams.
But that's a little different. They have the number one pick.
He's a Bay Area kid, though.
No doubt.
You know he's even more Bay Area than...
But you're right. That's definitely not the same situation because Tom Brady wasn't on everybody's radar. I mean, he got picked 199.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where Aaron Rodgers was considered... I mean, he did wind up falling to like 22, I think.
You can honestly hold Tom Brady against the Niners more so because I feel like as you kind of get into later rounds, like... He had to be someone. Tom Brady wasn't just no one. He was a Michigan quarterback.
Right. Why not take a flyer?
Like, why not
on
just
him?
Like he's a local kid?
Yeah.
We're like, this is round. Well, it was sixth round.
It was
right?
Sixth. Yeah.
It was sixth round. So, the fourth or fifth round, why don't we just give this guy
totally.
So, I think that's even more a mark on San Francisco for not taking Tom Brady then because,
right.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's face it, half the picks you pick don't even make it on your team.
Totally.
By, like, pick 4 or 5 on, you're just kind of doing a crapshoot, you know? I think that Tom Brady would have been more of a viable option then. You know,
like, that's a good point, though. Yeah, you make, because it's like, you know, who cares at that point? Fifth round, it's like, whatever.
And he, again, he's a Michigan quarterback. You don't, you're not just a random dude. I mean, granted, there are a lot of guys in Michigan quarterbacks. That
are you guys really getting on the Niners for not drafting Tom Brady when no one did?
We are now.
I mean, I don't. I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, he was a local kid, blah, blah, blah. But every other team made the same decision six or seven times over. So,
well, that's what I think. That's the point, though, is that at one point, like, I can understand not drafting him high, not reaching for him. But at that point, like, you
take a flyer. Sure,
because was their? I mean, you're looking at 2001, 2000. He got drafted. What was their quarterback situation? Jeff Garcia.
I was gonna say, is it Jeff Garcia? Who aren't they looking at him for head coach?
In 2000, it was Jeff Garcia.
Yeah,
and then, he was the quarterback through 03. Then Tim Rattay came in and split time with Ken Dorsey. And then it's just been kind of a mess.
And they drafted Alex Smith in like 04, right? Or 05.
Yep, and then, And we know that history.
See, I feel like, Alex Smith had a good career at Utah, right? I think they even went undefeated under Urban Meyer, if memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, playing in the MAC, right?
But I mean, like, Aaron Rodgers
or the
was like... Yeah, I think it was the way it was before they moved over to the Pac-12.
Right.
Would have been Pac-10 at the time. But
and that was under Urban Meyer.
It was. Was. And then he went over to Florida the next year.
I like how we're just thinking this aloud.
Yeah, it was stream of consciousness radio.
KZFR, 1 FM.
So moving on. Unless you guys want to talk more Niners 2000 draft.
No, it's like my knowledge stops probably much right there.
But I think the Alex Smith thing, though, is like, it's one of those things that's easy to look back on and say, oh, well, clearly they should have taken Aaron Rodgers. But at the same time, like, Alex Smith is captain checkdown, but at the same time, he has had quite a bit of success. I mean, like, we don't really know what would have happened if Harbaugh had stuck with him instead of Cap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do they win that Super Bowl? Do they even get to that Super Bowl? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those things it's hard to say. You know, but if Alex Smith, what if KC wins the Super Bowl? Does that change everybody's outlook on Alex Smith?
No, still hate watching him play and still have respect for the guy at the same time.
Yeah.
I have nothing against him, the guy. I just hate watching him play. Vice versa with Aaron Rodgers. I love watching the guy play. All those issues I just talked about that are completely personal, unfounded in any type of reality, and just my own bitterness towards the world.
Bud, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Getting back to the Aaron Rodgers thing real quick, what's the deal with him and his brother? Like, they don't talk, or his brother accused him of not even hanging out with the family anymore or something like that?
So there's an article that came out, I believe it was in ESPN Magazine, recently, where they talked to some former players and... I want to look it up so I don't misrepresent it too much. But basically, yeah, his brother came out on national TV on The Bachelor and said, or The Bachelorette, and said that there's no communication. And then this article recently came out where former players were kind of talking about Aaron Rodgers being kind of an aloof kind of guy, that he canceled on being a best man in a wedding the day before, or the the day of, via text message. And various things like that. Like, the family sent presents for Christmas to him and his fiance, and then, like, back in February they sent him back, and all these kind of things. Like, so, and if his dad wants to go to a game, I'm just kind of spitballing what I remember from the article.
Right. Yeah, it was some time ago. It was a couple months ago. But
yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah,
but it was a couple months ago. But yeah, basically his dad had to buy a ticket if he wanted to go to a Green Bay game. Stuff
like
serious?
That.
Yeah. So
really?
Yeah. So
no fam connections there, man.
Who knows what is all true about that? But
this is coming from his brother, not just some, right?
There's also, like, the chance, like, it is on with The Bachelorette or whatever. They're fabricating something to, like, make a juicy moment on television.
That's
like,
very true.
You know, I don't talk to my brother anymore, and it hurts my soul. And, like,
right.
Love me. You know, like, that's what they're looking for, yeah. Pretty much.
So, there's an article in ESPN that detailed a lot more. But, yeah, it's just kind of weird. We got into it pretty heavy one day.
Yeah, we talked, like, I mean, it does have, I think, like, I want to say Donald Driver was one of the people. A lot of receivers, no, JerMichael Finley, I think.
JerMichael Finley came out and talked about.
A lot of people, like, receivers in particular, tight ends that were saying, like, yeah, he didn't try to make a connection with them or anything like that. And.
Yeah, so it just makes it adds to kind of this mystique about him, I think, at the end of the day, though, because it's just, to be off-putting like that, I guess, and then to just go out and kill it and basically put your entire offense on your back. I mean,
because that article came out and they were in that like tanking zone. We're like, oh man, like what's going on with Rodgers right now? Mm-hmm. And then after it came out, like you said, he was like, I'm going on this tear.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah, that might have been just a week later or so.
Yeah. I feel like he just started going off right after that.
In any case,
get in here, Jake.
Serious folks,
Jake, you want to hop in here, brother? Big Jake from Say Hey and many other shows. Hey!
Pull up a seat.
I got a few minutes.
Yeah.
I like that you're representing the Niners right now.
Yeah, what can you do?
The Godfather
It's
is
been
back
pretty
the
brutal. The Godfather is back. Let's all make room. What do you want to talk about, Jake?
I don't know. What are you guys talking about right now?
Yeah, we've been rambling on about Aaron Rodgers for too long.
20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'd like to move forward.
Yeah, we're going to cover all the other games, I take it.
No, we got sidetracked for Barry.
All right.
We also talked about Joey Galloway being ripped at 45, so.
Okay.
Yeah. The floor is yours, my friend.
What have I been ranting about lately? Oh, the Lions and the Dolphins being the two primary reasons of why the NFL should never expand the playoffs.
Yes.
Because they clearly had no chance going in, and they showed they have no chance. There's just no reason to expand the playoffs ever, unless you want to watch more bad games.
I will say that first quarter of Detroit, I was like, I texted Chase like right as the first quarter. I was like, yo, Stafford's looking pretty good right now. He's making some decent throws, and I spoke way too quickly on that because after that, he was just like, dud.
Yeah, they're better than the Niners and teams like that and the Rams, but
because they
don't have a chance.
Well, because they're talking about going to 8 in each conference, right? Which would punish the top 2 seeds. They wouldn't get byes.
Yeah.
So let's think about who else would be in the playoffs. You'd have like Baltimore in the playoffs this year.
Tampa Bay would be in. Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Washington. It's just pointless. It's pointless.
Pointless.
Yeah, completely agreed. We were talking about this last week in expanding the college football playoff, and the more I thought about it, it benefits everyone but the players. It's just more football for them to have to go and play, and as much as we love it for entertainment, that's such a brutal game, and they're kids that aren't getting paid, and so I don't know, that rant made me think about that. I was just kind of pondering that over the week, like, because we were all kind of for it last week, and then the more I thought about it, I was like, that's completely selfish.
I'm for it only in the sense of like I want it to be automatic bids. I want them to streamline the conferences and make it to where you win your conference, you get in, that kind of thing. I don't want like them to expand it to 8
so they
can pick 4 more wild card teams and have teams that didn't even get into their conference championship play.
There needs to be more consistent factor.
It needs to be
final 4, because I think the kids are for that, trying to find, going a couple of extra games to find out.
It would only affect, 8 teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not talking about all 128. And let's be honest, like, it is around finals and it is around the holidays, but, like, these kids aren't going to class.
Yeah.
They're not writing their own papers. Yeah. Some of them aren't even taking their own tests. So it's like, let's be real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's call it what it is. It's entertainment.
Right.
And we could use 4 more teams, even though the semifinals were terrible. But just for the sake of having it be like a legitimate meritocracy where like you win your conference, you get in. And I want to see the Central Michigans of the world get their shot. You know what I mean? Even though they lost to Wisconsin, but be that as it may, who wouldn't have wanted to see Alabama, Western Michigan in round 1?
Because
then you have the Cinderella aspect that you have in March Madness.
You probably have the same product as you did, what you had, but you at least had the entertainment of knowing Western Michigan had a fighting chance.
Yeah, and it might be a 30-point spread, but who cares? I mean, Like, it's going to bring in money.
Well, and you already have those games scheduled during the regular season anyway.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, that's Alabama's non-conference schedule.
Totally.
Right. Seems they can beat by 60 points.
Yeah. The homecoming games, everybody does.
No, that's a great point. I mean, I think the only problem with what you said as far as let's just call it what it is, let's call it entertainment, is if we call it entertainment, then we got to pay the workforce. There lies a big problem.
Well, I mean, an argument could be made that they are getting paid. I mean, they're getting an $80,000 education.
In some cases,
I mean,
we just said that they're not even going to the classes, though, and taking the test. So what type of education are they really getting out of
the amount? Well, that's a great point. Yeah. That is a great point. And I'm not trying to, I'm not bagging on the players. I mean, they're doing what they want to do. They want to go to school. And listen, these kids, a lot of these kids are come from really, really poor backgrounds. And to give them $5,000-$10,000 stipend per semester, I'm not against that at all. I'm not against paying these guys, but like the kind of money that I think sometimes getting, bantied about is ridiculous. I mean, they're not professional athletes.
Sure.
You know?
But I do think, like, there's still something to behold of trying to get them to complete an education.
For sure.
And I think there's something that needs to be done where if you do offer them a scholarship that it means, we'll be with you until you do get that that degree, however long it might take you. So maybe you do go to the NFL, but, like, hey, I'm going to still take classes and whatnot. Like, they should, I think they're trying to do something to honor that system where, like, no matter, even if you come back, we're still going to give you that chance to get your degree, because I still think it needs to be imperative.
That's what
in
it
those,
should be about.
Yeah, in the, giving those kids an opportunity to give that degree, because when they do get to the NFL, a degree becomes really important, yeah. I feel, just of your knowledge of how to handle money and basic aspects of living, I feel.
But it's, I think it's for the other 99% of the players that aren't going to go pro that need,
oh yeah, that
need
too.
To have that foundation, because when the university kicks them to the curb, and it's like if they don't actually have an education, then it's like they got to go basically start where they were when they got out of high school. You know what I mean? That's not fair to these kids.
A scholarship should mean that we'll give you the chance to get that.
And I think that maybe if we had some kind of system where, like, the schools had to graduate something like 90% of every class.
Mm.
And then if they don't do that, then they don't, like, get to compete. Then they get, like, a postseason, one-year postseason ban. Something like that.
The NCAA, they're the real criminals, dude.
Oh, no
doubt. They're straight. That's a bunch of gangsters.
Yeah,
it's basically organized crime. I mean, the universities do make some money off of football games and stuff like that. They don't make anywhere near as much money as the NCAA just makes as an entity, though.
Yeah. Right.
And they're a for-profit business.
Yeah.
There's nothing non-profit about the NCAA. It's just so criminal when you break it down. The money those guys make, what they pay, what they're able to pay coaches at universities, for example.
Totally.
You know, I mean, what Nick Saban's defensive coordinator now is getting, what, like $1 million a year?
Right.
Or the guy from Michigan that just got a 5-year extension.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's dude. It's just like,
if you look up,
it's insane.
I think it's this way in every state. I'm not sure, but generally, the highest paid state employee is the head football coach.
Yeah,
like more than of the state, though, because technically they're state. Like Nick Saban's technically
a state employee. Yeah.
He makes more than the governor, more than you know what I mean. Any of those dudes, and so that's kind of a trip. I mean, that's
I mean, that. And ultimately that's just a pure reflection on our country's obsession
and our priorities.
What we think is entertainment. Like we find college football has become such a. One, it was such a really big gambler's paradise back in the day, and like it's kind of taking on that much more of a bigger aspect as we actually like sit there and watch. Like people, I feel like they kind of find it weird that we're so obsessed with college sports. Is kind of like for other people, it's kind of odd. I feel
But, because we don't have any association with any of these universities.
No, none whatsoever.
You know what I mean?
Like one of my gripes was like I don't like people that choose root super hardly for a school that they've never gone to. It's just like maybe in the general area. Like, I have a friend who has a USC I wouldn't call him a friend. I know a guy that has a USC tattooed on him.
Yeah.
And he never went to USC.
Yeah.
He's just a diehard USC fan and has, like, his family didn't go there or anything. He just saw them on TV a lot. They did really good in football back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, this deception comes just because of, like, our love for football and entertainment of sports.
I think it's just football, and we'll take it in any form we can get it.
You
it's know a what weird I mean? Reflection of our views on education as a nation, too.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Dedicate
your entire time to a sport that most of you will not be able to make a living doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's face it, because, like, only a fraction of percent actually go to the NFL.
Let's pay the college coach $1 million a year, more than we probably give the entire like science department.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm saying?
It's funny, that movie The Program, where I think it was James Caan played the football coach, and it was like kind of looked like FSU, the colors, and you know what I mean? But anyway, it was kind of it was a good movie, and this same argument came up, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, next time you get 80,000 people to fill a stadium to watch a kid do a science experiment, right. You let me know.
Yeah,
so,
that's kind of the tough guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. we like the balls being thrown in the air versus
But no, I think we could definitely have like a more accountability as far as like these programs and like what they're actually doing for these kids, because I have no problem with like using that sport and using your talent in that sport to like to get that education, to get you that one more rung up that ladder, and who knows, maybe you do, you know, all of a sudden hit a growth spurt and you know you do get into the NFL, and you know that'd be great. But most of these kids, I'd say, you know, it's less than 1% of these college athletes make it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in basketball, it's probably even less.
Sure.
You know, because there's more D1 teams and there's just less basketball players in
bigger
general.
Bigger rosters.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I just feel like thinking about another good football movie with God, the kid from Breakfast Club. Do you guys remember this
Which
one?
Kid
He's
from
the
Breakfast
quarterback,
Club?
The dorky kid who writes the essay for everybody.
Okay,
Michael
yeah.
Hall.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was he's in a football movie.
Is he really?
With Robert Downey Jr. plays like the psychopathic wide receiver. Johnny B. Good.
Yeah, and he goes by Cap or something, or Cappy, or is that in All the Right Moves?
I think that's All the Right Moves.
Oh, okay.
But he's like going, he's touring all these college universities, you know, and he goes to the one in Texas and he runs into the guy at the gas station there going to get some beer. And the guy's like, yeah, I played football at UT or whatever. And he's like limping around. And it's one of those moments where they kind of give you that glimpse of the reality. You know what I mean? And he's like, oh, the university took real good care of me because I got this job. You know, and he's just like, you know, this
Johnny B. Good
basically disabled guy who's working at the gas station. You know what I mean? And that's the reality for a lot of these players. Even worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You look what happened to Maurice Claret.
Right.
When his NFL career.
But he still at least made it to the league.
Kind of.
Did he? But didn't he get arrested for like guns and drugs?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
And I'm not blaming the NCAA for the, but I'm just saying like, if like a lot of these kids don't have anywhere to turn, like literally that's what they've invested their entire time, all their energy to like be a pro. And if they don't get there, they don't have another skill set to fall back on.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the cover for Johnny B. Good.
It's a classic.
This does not look like a good movie.
That was Uma Thurman. It was, actually. I'm telling you.
Robert Uma Downey Jr.'s breakout role. That is very freaky to me.
That was Robert Downey Jr. when he was still doing the drugs right there. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
It's worth 90 minutes of your time.
I gotta go look for orientation, folks. So I'll catch up with you guys later.
All right, brother. It was good having you as we rambled on here. This was nice. It felt like the good old days, Jake. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California, for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Derek, you want to do a read here?
Sure.
And we'll kind of collect ourselves and maybe head in some direction.
Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Harrison Daly Wright Accountancy Corporation in Chico. Harrison Daly Wright provides certified public accountants specializing in accounting and bookkeeping services, auditing, tax preparation and planning, management support and services for nonprofit organizations, and more. To reach Harrison Daly Wright, call 895-1209. It's coming in handy. Tax season's right around the corner, guys.
Thank you, sir. So just to give the listeners an idea of what's going on here, I don't really feel like this show not being great is our fault. Nothing happened. I mean, what do you want us to do? Do you want us
what
to
do you break, want from us?
Yeah. Do you want me to break down the Miami Steelers game? Because I can fake my way through it.
Yeah.
You know, do you guys want a hot take
about
how... I don't
think no one wants to hear that.
I think we should just move on to, like, looking forward to the cream of the crop rising next week.
Yes, I'm excited about that. The only thing to say about the wild card weekend... As just a sum evaluation, I think Jake nailed it. We don't need these two extra wild card teams. It was boring. None of the games were good.
Yeah,
I didn't watch any of them front to back because there was no point. And so we're gonna move on to better football next week. Before we do that, I think since we are talking football, think we should discuss one of the best wide receivers of all time, in my opinion, at least. Shouts one of my favorite. Steve Smith, he retired, and I want to read the entirety of his retirement letter, if I may. Dear Commissioner Goodell, this is to notify you that as of today, I, Steve Smith Sr., will no longer be antagonizing defensive backs. I am retiring from the National Football League. Sincerely, Steve Smith. And no one, in my opinion, or very few people, have done so much with so little as far as size in football, NFL, or in basketball. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
That guy was undersized and never once played like it and played like a beast. Who cares that he punched a couple teammates in the face from time to time?
He's a competitor, man.
He's from Compton. Yeah. What do you want from him?
He's from L.A., so he holds a little bit more dear to my heart, not to mention the fact that I have been a Carolina Panther fan since forever, like the 90s. And he was on that squad when they were really good, went to the Super Bowl against the Patriots that one time. And it was, dude,
that
he's the best.
That was a great game.
It was a great game. I mean, he had a great run in that playoffs to get there. Yeah, I mean, Steve Smith is...
Who was the quarterback at the time, DeLome?
Jake DeLome.
Jake DeLome, man. Yeah.
I thought when you started reading that letter, I thought it was going to be a scathing rebuke of the commissioner and the league.
Just...
He's toned it down.
It was classy,
a lot. Like,
yeah.
He's kind of gotten like...
I liked
it. He's just like, it's over now. The tour is done. But like, I don't know. I'm still to this day one of my...
Still cocky,
I hate the fact that the Carolina Panthers let him go. Stupidest decision they ever did.
Yeah, he should have retired a Panther, but oh well.
Yeah.
So let's move forward to football being played this coming up weekend. We finally get, well, for the first time in the history of the NFL, a team can make it to the Super Bowl by only having to win one game. And of course, I'm talking about your Patriots because they get the Texans this week. And unless you're a Patriots fan, there's really no need to watch because this is going to be a rout.
It's the right now. It's the fourth largest opening line.
16 is what I have it at here.
MGM's got it at 17 now. It started at 14.5, and then it's gotten bet up to like 16 or 17, depending on the book you're looking at. Damn. Which is like crazy because I was like going through some of the lines, and I was like surprised that there weren't some bigger ones. But like the Niners over the Chargers in the Super Bowl, I think they were like a 19-point favorite. Yeah, you would. I would have figured there would be some bigger ones, but this is one of the biggest ones.
One of the bigger ones. Wow. All right.
I think they'll cover. Honestly,
yeah, I do too.
Houston's like,
I mean, their defense is good.
Is pretty good.
Yeah, but they have no chance of scoring whatsoever.
No,
I feel.
But they already beat. They already beat them down earlier this season. Was
they beat
them
with Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah,
as the quarterback.
That's 27-0
on Thursday night.
Yeah. So
and now I think Watt was healthy at that point too.
Right.
Well, not healthy, but he was playing.
He was still playing. You know? I mean, their defense is good, but, I mean, they have nothing on offense. I mean, they have some dynamic players. DeAndre Hopkins, I'd put in the top five.
That guy's a great receiver.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, were they saying some terrible stats about Brock Osweiler and his ability to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins? He's, like, got most of his interceptions come that way. He has, like, 45% completion against them. Everyone else, he's better at. It's terrible. Like, I mean, that's just I'm speaking more against Brock Osweiler here, not against DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
But I
mean, that just kind of goes to show you that even though they have him, you still have Brock Osweiler as your quarterback. You can't get the ball to your best player.
But that's actually kind of a trend that I've noticed recently because the same was with Stafford to Calvin Johnson, and even this year with Matt Ryan to Julio Jones. His numbers are actually down as far as completion percentage to Julio Jones. And I think part of that is you just know you have a mismatch. You have that guy on, so you'll throw into...
Yeah, you're going to try to force it a lot more. And, that side's going to get more of an attention. They're probably going to get the better player, too,
yeah,
because that's your best receiver, no doubt.
But your point, it's a good... Brock Osweiler, he's not being helped by Bill O'Brien either, who... I mean, it's supposed to be some quarterback whisperer, and how hard is it to whisper to Tom Brady? I mean, I imagine it goes something like, hey, just do you. You know? I don't think there's a ton of whispering that's really necessary there. But I don't think, obviously, Brock Osweiler is great, but I don't think he's being helped out because if you look at the routes they run, and this is something that, for whatever reason, the NFL just hasn't figured out that we would like to see an all-22 cam, too, and be able to see the routes these guys are running. But I was watching someone break it down the other night on TV, and they don't run – it's basically all man stuff. They don't run any pick plays. They don't run any type of exotic formations or routes to get these, get their wide receivers at different levels of the secondary. But again, he knows his quarterback more than me, so maybe it's because Brock can't decipher that. Anyway, I can't believe we just spent 2 or 3 minutes talking about Brock Osweiler. He's not good, and that game's going to be
rich.
He is very rich.
There's a reason why Broncos didn't want him.
Well, here's the thing.
I thought they didn't want to
pay him. They didn't want to pay him that
much. They didn't want to pay him, but
that much, yeah.
Would you rather be a legend on the field or a legend at the bank? Because I would rather be a legend at the bank, my friend.
I think he probably thought that he could do both. You know,
yeah.
Looking at, like, I mean, if I was a free agent quarterback and I was like, who do I get to throw the ball to? DeAndre Hopkins would be
on my top of the list.
Short
yeah.
list.
Oh, yeah. And with that defense behind you.
Totally.
And Lamar Miller's solid.
Lamar Miller's a solid running back. Yeah. You know what I mean? They've had success
Fuller's
there.
Fuller's decent. You know, they got some weapons, but we're still talking about the Texans. Let's move on.
Well, I think, too, though, like, with that division, there is the opportunity where they, you know, he's got room for improvement. This is really his first full year as a starter.
For sure.
You know what I mean? He's 6'7". He's a big guy. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think the book is written on Brock yet.
No.
The checkbook's written, but...
No doubt.
The bank book.
He's a legend at the bank. So we do have some actually interesting games coming up. We have Kansas City-Pittsburgh, which is, I think, one of those classic cold AFC playoff games. And that's one I am really, really looking forward to. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it for a while. I think we mentioned on the show a week or two ago that this was the matchup we'd love to see in the playoffs just because of the two teams, the history. It's going to be outside. It's going to be cold. And these are two really good teams, you know?
Pittsburgh blasted them earlier in the year mm-hmm. after coming off the loss to Philly. I think they beat him like 41-13 or yeah. something on Monday night. Or maybe it was a Sunday night. But this is going to be a lot closer of a game. Arrowhead's one of the toughest places to play in the league. Mm-hmm. It's one of the loudest places, probably louder than
Seattle.
Seattle, even though you know they have the quote-unquote 12th man.
Well, they yell harder in Kansas City.
No, but I mean, the thing is, those cold lungs, man, they're strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's, you know, historically a really tough place to go into, especially in January. And like you said, this is just a classic matchup. These are two old-school AFC teams. Both have a lot of tradition. Pittsburgh's obviously had a little bit more success with all the Super Bowls. But I think this is, you know, this is an opportunity for Andy Reid to kind of get the proverbial monkey off his back, I think, a little bit. You know what I mean?
We really need to malign him
a lot, but this guy has had quite a bit of success. I mean, I think he took the Eagles to 5 straight NFC Championship games, including a Super Bowl appearance. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, we just got done.
He's never gotten over the hump completely.
He's never gotten over the hump, and but I mean, I think he needs to be looked at as one of the top, you know, top two or three coaches. Honestly, I mean, Bill Belichick is number one, but after that, I mean, who would you say is like the best coach in the league? I would throw Andy Reid's name in that hat, to be honest with you, even over Pete Carroll.
Yeah, you know, I would say Pete's up there,
but Pete hasn't had the sustained success that Andy Reid. I mean, you go back and you look at Andy Reid's coaching record with Philadelphia. I think they only were sub 500 like 1 year out of like 12 seasons. You know, Kansas City has had the best regular season record in the league over the last 2 years. You know, I think they're like, you know, they've won 26 games or something like that.
Right.
Maybe not that much, but it's up there. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're not the Patriots, but I think this is going to be a really exciting game because Pittsburgh's offense is very dynamic. Kansas City's defense is a hard-hitting crew. And they can cover and they can bring pressure. And I know Big Ben's in a walking boot boot yesterday, so we'll have to see how that.
Yeah, because I would imagine that game would almost be a pick'em game if it wasn't for him being in the boot. But
I don't know what the line is on that. I would probably put Kansas City at 3 just because they're at home.
2.
It's 2.
Yeah. It's 2, yeah. Yeah, no, I would imagine it would be around there. I would guess closer to pick him if he wasn't in the walking boot. But so we'll see. Green Bay-Dallas, that's going to be...
another classic matchup.
Yeah, the thing, too, is I heard someone talking about, well, Green Bay doesn't have any more home-field games. Aaron Rodgers is great in a dome. He'd probably prefer to play in a dome than Lambeau.
I doubt it.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, the guy's... he's a great quarterback. You give him the perfect element,
right?
You know, he should be fine.
So let's see. That game is Dallas is a 4.5-point favorite. That's kind of surprising to me. What do you guys think with this game? I think it's going to be close.
I love Green Bay's chances.
Yeah, me too.
Because you know we were gushing about Aaron for 20 minutes to start the show.
Right.
He's on fire, and they've won what, 7 in a row now. You know,
right?
So you know, you take Pittsburgh, New England, Green Bay; those are the hottest teams in the league.
Yep,
and those are the best quarterbacks in the league.
Those are the best quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at also the fact again: rookie quarterback Dak Prescott, first playoff game he's going into. Granted, they're just giving him the home field advantage. Obviously, it looks like, but I feel good for Green Bay in that one myself. I feel that with Aaron Rodgers, the way he's throwing.
Yeah.
Hail Rodgers, right?
I think you put it best, Noobs. I really do like Green Bay's chances going into Dallas. They've been rolling. Their defense isn't good, but we'll see. I mean, it was weird because in that Giants game, the Giants had a chance if they could hold on to a couple balls, just convert a couple first downs, and you take away that Hail Mary, and it's a completely different game. But that didn't happen, so that's the matchup we have. And then finally, Seattle-Atlanta. Atlanta, 4.5-point favorites there. I think that's going to be another good one. Seattle just hasn't been the same without Earl Thomas, and you would expect Matt Ryan, who is MVP candidate, to be able to exploit that. But I don't know.
He's got another monkey on his back. I think he needs to get off that. This playoff is a nice chance
for him. The monkey being that he plays for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Because they...
I mean, the entire team is the monkey. I guess they have to get over. And he's the captain of the ship that's driving them over.
That was terrible. You were really trying to go with that analogy. You're just hanging on to that.
I'm imagining a ship's captain, but he's got like a monkey on his shoulder.
Right.
Like
fine, parrot on his back. Would you put
some symbols?
No, stop.
You were really, really.
Let go of it.
Oh, man. I don't know. That should be another good one. And hopefully Seattle loses. I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't care. I just don't want to hear Russell Wilson in another press conference this year. I've heard enough of it. It's the same thing. We don't design robots that good with those automated responses, so I'm just done with him. He looks like he's a dolphin. He should be a dolphin trainer. So, yeah.
Right on.
Maybe we should spend a show just coming up with alternate like careers for some of these people.
That would be fun.
I like, because I think he'd be a perfect dolphin trainer.
Right?
He looks like
a dolphin trainer. We could do this for an entire show.
Yeah.
We'll save that for the summer when it's just baseball.
Sounds like a plan.
Moving on, let's do some rapid fire topics here. Let's shake things up and really get some structure here. Zaza Pachulia,
Zaza is
leading all NBA centers for All-Star vote so far, and I think it's hilarious. And we saw this in the NHL this year with the leading vote getter. God, I forgot who he was. He was a great guy, though, as far as like the interviews I heard with him. But he wasn't, he was just kind of a brawler. And he had been bouncing around teams. And apparently that's what they're doing with Zaza. They're kind of trolling everyone with this. And I think it's hilarious.
I mean, that's what, honestly, I love when that happens, because it just goes to show what you get when you trust, like,
the fans.
To make the vote. Because, like, let's face it, fans are dumb.
I feel like we should get a real campaign for Matt Barnes to get in there, too. I mean, if Zaza could get in.
Come on. Yeah.
I think it'd be cool if they just, if we just voted in, like, the 15 worst players from each conference.
That'd be hilarious.
You know what I mean?
That would be great.
You know?
I mean, if China can get Yao Ming to be the starting center for the All-Star game for all his years that he was there, I think that we can make things
happen. He wasn't just the starting center. He was the leading vote getter by millions.
Yeah, all the time.
So 1.2 billion people voted for him.
If we can do that for him, then I think that we can make this happen.
I'm sure it was compulsory in China to vote for him.
Something, there probably was some connection.
But I mean, like,
had.
When you leave these things up to people, and God, I love people, don't get me wrong, some of them.
Again, fans,
but
not
like,
smart.
You know, when they gave the people the right to choose the name of this boat in England, and they chose Bodie McBoatface. You know what I mean? Like, this is what happens.
That's amazing. I need to look that story up. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, don't give us those avenues. We don't need it. But if you do expect these results, and when they happen, I love it. So I'm all for it.
You haven't heard about that?
No.
Zaza Pachulia is our Bodie McBoatface.
Is incredible. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, I got to look that up. Okay, another quick fire thing here. I want to get into Jim Nantz and Phil Simms, but we'll save that for 1 second here, because a lot of the talk after the game, we oftentimes in sports, we don't assign credit. We also often assign blame. And so instead of just marveling at Aaron Rodgers, which I think we did, a lot of, you know, these sport take shows where they just have hot takes. We're starting off with Odell Beckham going on that boat party. And I just wanted to say how dumb that is, in my opinion, because Jordan was playing like 46 holes of golf before a playoff game and doing Lord knows what else. I mean, there's a lot of hearsay about Jordan's antics that we won't repeat on the radio. But the guy was a partier, man.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a Snapchat and Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter.
The problem
and all
is
these
also
things.
That he also came out and performed. I mean, unfortunately, Odell
Beckham
had
was
that
dropping
situation,
balls,
and then he came into the. And, I mean, it's easy to make that connection when you're trying for that, you know.
But, I mean,
immediate hot take.
They had the day off. He flew down there. I mean, it was on a Monday. It was
to say that it affected it. I think it's just to show that you don't really truly understand like how the sports can work. It's not that big of a deal.
I don't
but it's stupid for them. I think. to plaster it all out there like that. Like, yeah. Hey, this is what we're doing. Like, it's easy. Well, it's just easy fire, you know, like easy ammo for people.
I just don't like when professionals are using that as part of their breakdown of the game. You know, these professional analysts are saying, do you think that would have had any effect? Probably not. It probably had nothing to do with him not performing well in the game. Let us fans do that. Let us be the ones who say make dumb connections with that.
Right.
But
that just goes to show you what ESPN has devolved into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like TMZ for sports.
Well, they have like 10 channels and there's 24 hours a day. They got to fill that time somehow. So, you know, it's the game they got to play, I guess. But let's get into Jim Nantz and Phil Simms if we can. I don't know how you feel about them. I know how you do, Derek.
Yeah.
I can't stand them as a commentating.
See,
duo.
I think Jim Nantz needs the Medal of Honor for dealing with Phil Simms.
Okay, see, okay, I don't mind Jim Nantz so much.
Phil Simms is awful.
Yes, okay.
No, he's terrible.
I can't take him anymore.
He knows a million times more about football than any of us, but there's
He's forgotten more football than I'll ever know. But he's still horrible to listen
to. Yeah, there's precious little evidence of that when he is on air.
No.
He makes comments that I feel like any novice observer of football could make.
Some 5-year-old who wandered into the booth could do better than that guy.
It's almost like,
I'm sorry,
you're
but
looking for the color guy to provide an insight to some information.
Well,
but all
you
he
know,
just like the quarterback, he gets the ball from the center and then he throws the ball or hands it off.
Well, and his color,
that's what he does. That's what.
No, that's absolutely correct. And in the game earlier, it was a Cincinnati game. I forgot who they were playing. But Phil Simms said, and I quote, I remember this because it bothered me so much. All right, they're either going to look for the run or the pass here. And I was like, oh, they're not going to punt on first down? Yeah. That's weird. That's some insight.
Wow.
I'm glad
something.
I'm glad you make millions of dollars to share that with me. You know, when I just get frustrated when we get any former players that go on and talk. Like Magic Johnson's another one who does this oftentimes. I want to hear about when you were in the huddle. Okay, you know, I remember being in this situation in the playoffs, you know, and kind of give me some behind the curtain, so to speak, access. Let me know what you would think. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what anyone could tell me. Yeah. What, you know, my girlfriend could walk in the room and tell me it's first and 10 and they're going to run or pass here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just
great insight there, babe.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put that out there because I really.
So what happened? Did they? I mean, why?
Well, it's just
the CBS team. They're like CBS's number one team.
No, I know.
And like, whenever you have a CBS game, I'm like, okay, I know I'm getting Nantz and Simms. I feel like I never get a week off without them.
Yeah, I was watching the game from the hospital. My grandmother was in there this weekend. She's doing all right. Shouts to her. But I was watching the game. I wanted to write them down, but I was, because it was so bad. I remember at one point Phil Simms said, well, Miami's really got to start getting it going here if they want any chance of winning this game or something to that effect. Yeah. And I believe the score was 27-6 or, and it was like, no kidding. Right. They're going to have to, and he's like, they're really going to have to string together a couple of drives. Yeah. And it's like, you think that's how they're going to get back in this game. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, tell me what you were thinking when you're down that much, you know,
Just tell me, what would you do to attack this defense right now? You know, I mean, how would you crawl back in the game? I don't need to know that they're down a lot and they need to score a lot to get back
in
the
game. I
can
see that by looking at the score on the TV.
Right.
I can do simple addition and subtraction.
Exactly. So it's just things like that. It wasn't anything in particular. It's more like a...
I'm frustrated with that all the time, though. I mean, like, you know, because they're in the booth. They can see what's going on. They should be really quick and be like, okay, they're in a 4-3 defense. You know what I mean? Look for them to, you know, run an inside trap. Like, don't tell me they're going to run or pass. That's obvious. Like you said, like, make a prediction. If you're wrong, you're wrong.
I mean, because half the time, like, our view that we have is a terrible, again,
it's
I've often,
awful.
I
right.
hate
can't
the view,
even see most of the defense.
You cannot see it. Half the time, you can't see the receivers running the routes at all. It's a terrible view. So tell us what you're seeing. Exactly. Like, tell us the defense that they're in right now. Yeah. Tell us what the offense and how that setup is and what that looks like attacking this defense.
Totally.
Yeah, and like, they don't do that.
Well,
I feel like.
And I think with football, almost all of us know almost nothing about what's actually happening on the field. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, or if you ever sit down with someone who's played like football at a high level, they're seeing a game in a completely different, I'm not even the same atmosphere as Justin probably the Jack. Three of us sitting down and watching a game. We can understand when a quarterback checks out of a play. We could see, you know, when they're playing cover two. I mean, easily identifiable things. But, you know, when they're motioning a man and identifying a zone and things like that, those are things that a lot of these commentators, especially former players, would, especially former quarterbacks, could identify for us. It would help all of us understand the game a bit better. And instead we get, well, they're really – it's first and 10, and we're really I'm expecting either a run or a pass. That's not helpful.
I think maybe he just had a couple too many hits to the head, or he has like maybe. Some kind of – he has blackmail photos on the president of CBS or something.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
I just don't understand why you would go in there and dumb it down to that level. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
no, I know exactly what you're saying. Like, because even like when I'm looking at formations, there's some times where I can kind of be like, okay, here comes an inside draw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or I'd be like, okay, they're going to run a bubble screen. You
sure.
know what I mean? I can kind of gauge it, but like they've got plenty of time while the guy's up at the line of scrimmage, you know what I mean? Calling guys out. Like when Brady gets up there and points to the linebacker, like I want to know who exactly he's telling, like he's talking to his offensive line.
Right.
Is he telling this to the receivers, the running back? And what exactly is he pointing out? That's going to be the blitzer or this guy's going to drop back into coverage? Like, I want to know what exactly they're doing. You know, when you hear Peyton Manning go, Omaha, 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 tell me what that is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or at least guess
right.
what that audible is.
And these guys,
they don't even do that. They do dumb it down.
Right.
And it's already...
These guys are spending time at their practice throughout the week, so they're seeing, you know, John Gruden does it. John Madden used to do a great job of kind of identifying these things. And
a little bit, but then he'd give you the whole, well, Brett Favre, when he got Brett Favre, It's just like,
yeah.
You know, it's like,
but
it is, yeah, terrible.
One movies. Guy who doesn't get enough credit, I think Chris Collinsworth, is that his name?
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of him either.
But he actually, yeah, a lot of people
like
don't like
him.
But
he does
homework
at least.
But I think, but I feel like
there.
He does do a good job of at least trying to explain what he sees, even when he's wrong, you know? So, I don't know.
Aikman does that a little bit.
Yeah.
Aikman's not horrible. But see, it's like, if you get, like, a good color guy, then always the play-by-play guy's awful. Like, there's not a single team that's really good. Because I can't stand Joe Buck. I don't know how you guys feel about Joe Buck. But I don't mind Aikman, but I can't hate Joe Buck.
Yeah.
I like Nance, but I hate Phil Simms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, can we get Nance and Aikman together or something? But it's like almost like it's like a conspiracy. Let me just go ahead and put my tinfoil hat on real quick.
Yes,
it's almost like the networks want to torture us. You know what I mean? Because they know we're going to watch.
Because they can have that one super team, because that's all we're going to clam for. It's one super, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, you figure with all the former players, you know, and all the, you know, guys who went, you know, all the journalists out there, sports journalists, you'd figure we'd be able to put together a couple good announcing teams, but there really isn't one.
No.
You know? I do like Sean McDonough now on Monday Night Football.
See, I'm not a fan of him.
Okay.
So
I think he's fine by me. I'm like...
Because he's like old school New England guy. He used to do Red Sox games back in the day. So that's like,
he's been around for a long time. He used to call games with Jack Buck, didn't he?
Maybe.
I think he did.
McDonough's been around for a while, and he's done everything.
Yeah, football, I don't dislike him. I don't know. He was calling players quitters earlier this season and saying how Brock Osweiler was the only one who didn't quit in a Texans game, and I just didn't understand how he could make that observation. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I have a problem with that when guys start calling out effort because it's like you don't really know what's going on down there.
Right, and I don't know. So that's probably one dumb thing to hold me back. But half this show today has been dumb gripes I have against people, so... Speaking of gripes, we only got 3 minutes. I'm good. You want to talk about things you hate or what?
I guess, yeah. Well, obviously I do. I always love talking about
a little segment we like to call Haterade. I usually have sounds for you, but who cares? We have 3 minutes.
We will hate in our lives.
Well, with this rain, I know bad drivers is one that we could all talk about for probably hours, so let's save that for next week.
We'll save it for next week then. Okay, so I'll start off with where I wanted to go next, because it has been raining, but not just raining. Sometimes it's drizzling out there. But the people that really annoy me are the people that have their windshield wipers full blast, which is a simple drizzle. A simple drizzle. You don't need it full blast. You don't need it all the time. No, just a whoosh every once in a while will do you fine. I'm under usually the perception, the less I use my windshield wipers, the happier I am, because they annoy me. I don't like things going in front of my eyes that kind of distracts
stressful.
Me. It's annoying.
Yeah,
it
is.
Really is. How can you do like they're so fast all the time and you not get bothered by it? I'm sitting in traffic and it's just a slight drizzle when I'm down in LA last time, and I'm just seeing this car just all full blast. Like, it has no, like, maybe your car doesn't have the modes.
Hold on.
This is why I wish we were on TV right now.
Yeah.
This is the limitations of radio.
Right. If you could see these.
The full whoosh.
Can you hold that up? Those are your notes.
These are my
notes. You show noobs that real quick? Because I made the observation earlier today. I was hanging out with Derek and I was like, you know what's
those
great?
Are all the things that you
these
hate?
Are my things.
These
that
are
I
things
hate
that
right
he
now.
Hates. Wow. Yeah. I made the observation that he comes into the show and he has no notes on the games, no notes on anything else. But when it comes to things he hates, he keeps prepared. A running yeah. journal.
I have to because like they always come into my head at odd times.
All right, we still got a minute, so knock out. Like,
all right, I got one more. That's another one that's going to hold you to it. Again, I'm not a big fan of laugh track TV shows.
Sure.
But the thing that all those shows have in common is when the people are sitting around a table, they never have a person sitting with their back to the camera.
Yeah.
Which I get. But at least put a chair there. Pretend someone actually would sit there. Don't have like an empty space and then like force everyone to crowd around. So it looks like we sit awkwardly around this table, huddle up together like we love each other. No. Space it out. I don't even care if you put a person with their back to me. I really get it. Someone sits there. That's how you sit at tables.
That's